This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
How is it rationalized that there's no timeout called? How can that possibly be rationalized?
You got to talk to the people who control those things. I hear the play and I line up and run the play, so I don't know.
Welcome back to 670 The Score, special edition, breaking news up at Hallis Hall. I'm David Hall, along with Gabe Ramirez, here until 2 o'clock. Lawrence Holmes is on the way as well. We'll talk to Dave Wannstedt at 1 o'clock. What are we talking about? Of course, the Bears have fired Matt Eberflus. The Bears have done something they never have done before in their history. He is now the ex-coach of the Chicago Bears, regardless of the fact that they sent him out there this morning as the sacrificial lamb to face the Bears media and explain the inexplicable what happened Thursday in Detroit. Matt Eberflus fired. If you're just getting into your car on your way to your Black Friday shopping extravaganza.
Good deals out there.
This is a Black Friday in the NFL for Matt Eberflus. And Gabe, I think that this was something that was unprecedented, obviously. But based on what happened yesterday, the fourth game you could point to where a head coaching decision led directly to a loss, this was also unacceptable for Matt Eberflus. So yeah, it is a bit of a surprise to people who said the McCaskies would never do this. And they have never done this for a variety of reasons. But this was the right move. This is progress. And this had to be done.
Something that needs to happen for the organization. Everyone could see it. It became a national story. The inability for the Chicago Bears to close out games. I guess when I look at Coach Flus, I wonder why this wasn't visible or evident from a little bit earlier, the inability to manage the clock. I felt like when he first got to this team, David, he was doing things properly. He was calling timeouts at the right moments. He was managing the game well. I'm not sure what happened, and if we can simply point to a better roster that where the expectations are higher, and therefore you need to manage the game differently.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We're going to be here till 2 o'clock, 312-644-6767. The Bears have released a statement. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to some of your phone calls. But, Gabe, I want to react to what you said. I agree that what happened yesterday was so egregious, and it happened on a national stage with the entire national football community on
dumbfounded,
just like watching and reacting and mocking the Bears. So what happened yesterday went from being maybe a local kind of joke to a national punchline. And that's the kind of embarrassment that you can't really tolerate if you're Kevin Warren, if you're Ryan Poles. And frankly, Ryan Poles had to do this to preserve his own job. If he were not to act in a way that was strong and decisive and clear, then there would be doubts and scrutiny about his own viability as the Bears general manager. It's one thing to put a roster together and draft wisely and make good trades and sign right the right free agents. But you have to make decisions about your head coach that make sense. And what happened after last offseason didn't make sense. Ryan Poles stuck by Matt Eberflus rather than pursuing guys like Jim Harbaugh or Pete Carroll or Mike Vrabel or strong personality types who were available. Reinforced the faith in Matt Eberflus. It was squandered this season as they're now off to a 4-8 start, a season that began with playoff expectations. And the one thing I wanted to when you said it, it's not necessarily untrue. Yesterday was the tipping point, but this has a lot more to do with just not calling timeout in the final 36 seconds.
Yeah, which has been the bigger issue.
The bigger issue is the lack of decisive judgment, the lack of having a coach that has a positive impact on Sundays. And he has had a negative impact too many times, and leadership issues have been the biggest problem with Matt Eberflus.
Has it been worrisome for you, or is it worrisome for you in the present, that this decision wasn't made 2 weeks ago when they let go of Shane Waldron? Because here we are 2 weeks removed from that, and you're saying, well, you didn't see the writing on the wall then, and now you needed two more blunders in order to move on from your head coach?
I heard you talking about that. That's a good point and question. I don't think so, because you wanted to exhaust every option. And I think you wanted to get to the point where you wanted to be fair in giving, not only fair in giving him more chances, you could have justified it, sure. You could have justified it because you didn't have to be a football savant to predict what was going to happen in the weeks that followed the firing of Shane Waldron. Matt Eberflus had lost his football team. That may have happened in Indianapolis. That may have happened in training camp. Who knows when? Right after Hard Knocks, things started going south, Gabe. But I do think that if you are the Bears organization and you've never done something like this before, you wanted to try to wait until the last moment you felt like you reached the point of no return. And what happened in the mismatch in Motown, that was the point of no return. You could not tolerate that again. So I understand what you're saying, but this is better late than never, perhaps, in that context. And you just couldn't go one day forward with having expecting anybody to believe in your brand, to believe in your direction, if you brought him back to preside over another game. He should not have presided over another press conference. That was embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
That's shameful for the Bears. If they want to manage the message and they want to polish the image of this franchise, they did a lousy job this morning, because that was sending somebody out there that didn't deserve to be out there. You can say many things about Matt Eberflus, the coach, and you'd be right. But Matt Eberflus is a decent guy that deserved better this morning.
Allowing him to come out there was awkward, especially because of the debacle that took place prior to the link being sent out for the interview. What did you think about, I mean, obviously the Bears sent out a press release. In it, Ryan Poles said that this morning he had a meeting with George McCaskey and Kevin Warren. Obviously, with the history of the franchise as it sits, never firing a coach in the middle of the season, what do you think that conversation was like with George? Because clearly it was different than any other conversation that had been had in those walls.
The glib answer? It was awkward, because every conversation with George McCaskey is a little awkward. So I can't imagine that he walked into the room and said, all right, this is the way it's going to go. You're going to do this. We're going to do that. Right. This is the vision that I have for this franchise. Because you know what? Since 2011, when George McCaskey became the chairman of the Chicago Bears, the vision has been cloudy. And it's been very unclear. And they've been running in circles. They could put a treadmill in the middle of Hallis Hall to represent where they have been headed the last 11 years. Or 13 years. However long it's been. It's been too long. They're running in place. They're not going anywhere.
Was Coach Eberflus the wrong coach to bring in a couple of years ago? Because I think about the roster where it was. It wasn't prepared to compete, so they needed someone.
Yes, he was.
He's the right guy, right?
No, he was the wrong guy.
He was the wrong guy.
He was the wrong guy, Gabe. I mean, he was the wrong guy. You had to talk yourself into liking what this represented. You had to talk yourself into Matt Eberflus. How many people Googled his name on the day he was introduced at Hallis
Hall? I was one of them for sure.
Okay. How do you say his name? Did you know before he got here?
Eberflus, like they said yesterday on the broadcast.
And that's being sort of flippant, but you know what? He wasn't an established, experienced NFL head coach. You had too many questions. You were at the point in your franchise where you had a need for change at the front office. You want to give a 36-year-old Ryan Poles a chance to build a roster as a first-time general manager? I could understand that. But if you are going to do that, don't hire somebody else who doesn't know what he's doing on the job and doing it for the first time.
But we see it happen so often in basketball, in baseball, where a Vinny Del Negro or a Rossi is brought in to kind of hold down the team in the interim.
How those examples
That's
go?
My point, though.
How'd that turn
so
out?
So maybe he was the right guy.
You've been here long enough to know, okay? This was a bad idea. And this was something that they needed to cut their losses. Ryan Poles in that statement, quote, "I thank Matt for his hard work, professionalism, and dedication to our organization. We extend our gratitude, et cetera, et cetera." Kevin Warren, "I support Ryan and the decision that was made this morning. We understand how imperative this head coaching role is for building and maintaining a championship caliber team, leading our players in our organization, et cetera, et cetera." I would say that the only thing I would edit out of that statement, or maybe look at it differently. Kevin Warren really is saying this, quote, "I support Ryan and the decision that was made for him this morning."
Okay, because that was going to be my follow-up. Who was the loudest voice in the room? Was it Kevin Warren or was it Ryan Poles?
If it was Ryan Poles, I think we might have heard more from him. I know that his silence has been interpreted as being a show of no support for his head coach, but I just am skeptical that the guy that hired Matt Eberflus was going to be the one who fired him mid-season. I think that he would have leaned on, and this is purely speculative, and talking to people around the building perhaps, but I think Ryan Poles believed in Matt Eberflus and that they were aligned philosophically, and he might have viewed the firing of Matt Eberflus as a something that would question his own football
as a Velus Jones moment, one of those moments where it's like, I can't let go of this guy because I still have belief in him because I picked him.
Now, from the outside looking in, this is the way I look at what happened this morning and really this next phase. Kevin Warren is the thing that is different about this equation. When you talk about the Bears never having fired a head coach in season, all those examples have never included Kevin Warren. He's the new guy here. When he came, he promised change and a new way of looking at things. And when he talks about the stadium project, he speaks in grandiose terms and God kissed the lakefront. And he quotes Daniel Burnham and says, make no small plans. If Kevin Warren, if his fingerprints aren't all over this move today, over the coaching search, I would be surprised. He's visible in the building. He's visible in the football portion of the building. And my sense is that he will be very...
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Visible, at least behind the scenes. Can you be visible behind the scenes?
Yeah.
He will be impactful behind the scenes.
Your presence.
The president will have a presence because he is here to shape the future of the Chicago Bears on and off the field in his mind. You can quibble with that, but in his mind, you don't get to where he's gotten, and you don't operate the way that he operates without thinking that you are going to have an impact on the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. So I do think this is his show, and I think that Ryan Poles may be the leading actor in it, playing the lead. But I do think that Kevin Warren clearly to me is the director.
I think he's a guy that's been around football long enough and understands what a winning organization should look like, whether he's been a part of one in Minnesota or trying to come here to Chicago to turn them into said organization. I think he will have a hand, obviously a large one, in figuring out the next head coach. I wonder with the promotion of Thomas Brown, what his vision for a head coach for the Chicago Bears, what does that look like with Caleb Williams? Is it, again, someone that is someone has no experience as a head coach that is an experienced play caller? Or is it someone like a Kevin Warren that's been around the league for a long time and understands how to hire an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator to make the organization run at a high level?
Well, that's a great question. It's one of the many things that you're going to have to be addressed. And this will be a source of conversation because Thomas Brown, the other part of the news, if you didn't hear it, is now the interim head coach for the remainder of the season. So he will be the head coach. Will he still call plays? How will that job, duties will be divided? That'll be something we, break down and talk about and overanalyze, frankly. Because I think we're going to overstate the importance of Thomas Brown in this phase. I don't want to be disrespectful.
Is his most important job to right the ship or to continue to have Caleb Williams progress?
What's the calendar say? What's today?
It's November 29th.
November 29th. Okay. When's the last game? Alex Kuhn, when's the last game against the Packers? January what?
Second, probably, I think.
Get the Bears to the final game.
Okay.
Period. Is Thomas Brown a viable candidate moving forward? Talk to me then.
Fifth.
January 5th, 5:30, whatever, after they play the Packers at Lambeau. That game's not getting flexed. Don't even think about that. Okay. That will be the time when I'll tell you whether or not I believe Thomas Brown is in play or not. Right now, it's interesting but irrelevant. It's unlikely that he will be. I love the comparisons to Mike Tomlin, but I think that's overstating and maybe a little bit hyperbole. He has a good connection with Caleb Williams. If he can help Caleb Williams get from point B to point C, which is now to January 5th, terrific. Because that's all that matters about any on-field development as you move forward.
Will Caleb Williams' voice be listened to? Because what if he falls in love with Thomas Brown?
You got to strike a balance here because you want your franchise quarterback, who was the de facto CEO the moment that he walked into the building. We say that all the time, and I believe that. You've got to make him feel like he does have input. You've got to make him feel like his opinions do matter, because they do to some degree. But if he's in love with a guy that is not as qualified as a guy that you know would make a difference, or your professional experience tells you can afford, you can hire, and you can count on to make an impact and change the direction of this franchise, your quarterback's voice is not going to be as loud as you're suggesting it will be.
And it shouldn't be.
Let him worry about the cadence at the line of scrimmage. Let him be a leader in the locker room. His voice, though, should not carry that far when you're talking about who to hire as your head coach. Because what if he's 23 years old? Let's be fair here. It's not fair to Caleb Williams to put him in that situation.
To make that decision or to have that weight.
You're the adult in the room. He's a young adult. If you are Kevin Warren, if you are Ryan Poles, and I hope they don't hire some former executive that is now taking a golden parachute into Hallis Hall to get paid to be a consultant. You don't need him.
No.
Don't get him. You want to hire a consultant, Olin Kreutz is available. Tom Thayer is available. They'll work for $15 an hour, maybe. No, wait, Olin won't, right?
Got a couple text messages about that one already today.
But you know what I mean?
Yes.
Don't go to the Bill Polian and Ernie Accorsi, guys who have never worked at Hallis Hall or lived in Chicago or understand the dynamic between the fans and the team and the franchise and how dysfunctional this whole mess is. You need somebody who knows where the bodies are buried and knows what the warts and all. And they look at what is happening and they can offer some strong advice because they need it.
It's frustrating because this is the broken record playing. Every time there's an opening as for the head coach with the Chicago Bears, we preach the same thing. Bring in someone, do this. And then for whatever reason, the Bears fall short of that. Why will it be different this time around?
Gabe, that's a great question, but here's why it will be different this time around. First of all, I have no guarantee that it will be different this time around. Let me just start.
Damn.
Okay. But if you're doing it, you always believe it will be different this time around. These are football people. These are sports people. When you are committing your life to sports, you believe in the power of optimism. And you think that even though no, and you have a bit of ego involved here too. Let's face it. Kevin Warren, nobody has to talk to him. You talk to him for more than 10 minutes and you don't realize how much. I mean, look, he's a confident man and his ego is unmistakable. And I also think that he's somebody who has earned that.
Mm-hmm.
He has a presence about him. You think he thinks that he's going to go into this and he can't change the future? He wants to make history. Caleb Williams, what did he say the first day as a Bear? I want to make history. The guys who do this well, the guys who are involved, they want to make history. They don't care about John Fox, Mark Trestman, Phil Emery. These are all George McCaskey mistakes, by the way.
They weren't brought here to do that, to bring in those types of – he wasn't brought in to bring in those types of people.
No. And they don't think – I mean, Kevin Warren as team president never would have hired Matt Eberflus because Matt Eberflus, as a nice guy, does not have the gravitas that I think that you're looking for in your next Bears head coach. And I do think that it matters. And I do think that when you get in front of a room of people who play football for a living, how you connect and communicate with them, the charisma that you bring into that room matters. It matters more than it does in many sports. Football is a violent collision sport. And football is full of guys who are tough-minded individuals. You've got to connect some way. Shane Waldron couldn't. He was gone. Matt Eberflus did for a while, but his hesitation in big moments and his inability to make big decisions on the fly, it hurt him in being able to earn the respect of players he was coaching. So even though he might be a good guy we love Flusy when he's calling and pushing the right buttons and calling the right blitzes, but when they see him struggle communicating publicly, which was his biggest bugaboo as a head coach, that's weakening. That's weakening his reputation, that weakens his reach, and it makes him more vulnerable as a head coach in a market like Chicago. So he didn't have a chance.
Yeah, unfortunate. I think that it's just so shocking that the Bears got it so wrong after drafting Caleb Williams. You knew.
And yet you've been here all your life, Gabe. You should not have been as shocked as you sound.
Well, because I, like Kevin Warren, thought we were headed in a different direction. Because I am optimistic the way you said
I love
every
it,
single year.
Gabe, you're exactly right. And you know what I'm talking about. I mean, so you think that even though you've been burnt before, you are Charlie Brown, and you think this time you're going to kick that field goal, and the ball's not going to be pulled off. Lucy's not going to do that to you. Lucy's about to do that to you again. But I want you to continue to think you're going to make the field goal.
Yeah.
Because that's a great thing about sports. So right now, as you sit here, people are relieved and maybe even overjoyed that Matt Eberflus has been fired. I don't think you should take glee in somebody else's unemployment, even though it was the right move. You understand the realities. But you believe somewhere there's a part of you, even as cynical as you are, the most cynical person you know, think of, is a Bears fan. You got to believe that they're going to get it right this time.
Bears by 6 on Sunday against the 49ers.
You know what that would be great? Beat the 49ers, have them unravel, and have them fire Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
And bring the stud to Chicago. All right, we are here for you. 312-644-6767. The Gabe Ramirez therapy tour continues. Didn't you have that your first couple hours?
I love the fact that you laid on my couch first before you got on the microphone because you needed a second as well. Dan Weider is going to be hanging out with us.
All right, so Dan Weider, who is on top of this, he's got connections, he's got information. We're also going to hear some of your reaction before we get to Dave Wansett at 1 o'clock, Lawrence Holmes at 2. Matt Eberflus has been fired. If you're just getting into your car, I'm David Hall with Gabe Ramirez. We're here, special edition, 6-7 to score, Chicago Sports Radio.
Well, I'm the head football coach, you know, so I'm taking the blame, of course. You know, that's what you do. So we didn't get it done. It starts at the top, and it starts right here. So accountability is right here with me. And, again, we just got to do it better, and I got to do it better. And I was proud of the guys the way they fought, and they did a good job putting themselves in position.
Welcome back to Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hall, Gabe Ramirez, special edition. The Bears have fired Matt Eberflus, he was held accountable. He did lose his job. They announced it in a statement late this morning. They still sent him out to meet the media at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's shameful. That's beside the point. The point being, they did something they never have done in their history. They fired the head coach, and your reaction matters. 312-644-6767. Let's start the conversation with Caleb from Rockford. Good morning, Caleb.
Hey, guys. I'm just going to say, I think this is possibly the first blip of life out of the Bears in what I would consider decades. I do not know how we keep making coaching deficits for this long. We have always picked bad coaches. I mean, the only positive one I could think about would be Lovie Smith. But finally, we see something. I mean, I was starting to question at the start of this year, did management and ownership even care about a winning culture? You know, as long as fans were in the seats and they were making money, did they care?
It's a fair question, Caleb. It's a great point. And I think this move today says yes. Would you agree with that, Gabe?
Yeah, I think it says a lot. When you're talking about a blip of life, I think we all feel that way because we are tired of living in mediocrity or below. And you want to see signs that you are headed in the proper direction. Caleb Williams being a sign, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze a sign, some guys on defense. But you still understand that there are ways to go. And, you know, regardless of what you felt about Flus, I think it's clear that he's just not the guy to get you there.
You wanted to see evidence of impact. You wanted to see a head coach that affected Sundays in a positive way. There are too many examples this year, this season, and yesterday, the latest one, the latest and loudest, of him having a negative impact on the outcome. And that they've seen enough, and so they had to act. They really had no choice. This isn't that hard of a decision when you look at the way the NFL operates, but they made a decision and did something they never have done before, so it's going to get a lot of attention. It's Black Friday, NFL style. Let's continue the conversation with Gene in Dallas. Gene, thank you for calling the Score.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're doing fine. How y'all doing down there?
Hey, it's good, good, man. Look, I'm so ecstatic, and I'll tell you guys why. I never was a Matt Eberflus type person. I coach a lot of kids here in the Dallas area. A lot of kids have made it to the NFL. I had one kid in particular that played for Coach Waldron. So when they made that hire, I was stomach sick on just me and his conversation on how he doesn't like to run certain routes, how he doesn't communicate and get involved in the game planning. So to me, it was just so disheartening when we did that. My issue with Coach Matt Eberflus, from the first year, that first year we hired him, we had so many close games. If I'm remember right, it was like 8 games where the Bears really should have won the game if certain coaching decisions have been made differently. I coach kids, and I always tell my kids, I am the say-all, end-all. What I say go. This year, what bothered me about this Bears team is we went into the year thinking, oh, our offensive line and defensive line were sufficient. They weren't. We all know what we saw. The run defense, to me this year, it's always been atrocious. Last year, it was atrocious to me too, except for when Billings was in there, and he was the only run stopper. So we went and got no one. I understand the organization was handcuffed with draft picks after that last regime. But to go back to my Matt Eberflus point is, His coaching style has never just been a one that shows leadership. He doesn't call timeouts. He doesn't communicate at end of the game. His in-game decisions, even yesterday when he made that first challenge, I was like, why would you make that stupid challenge? Come on, man.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate the phone call. Got a lot of people to get to. The lack of decisiveness in key moments was ultimately Matt Eberflus's undoing. And yesterday, letting the time tick out, 36 seconds, goodness sake, step in, call a timeout, take time to call another play. After that, you knew.
Was it more frustrating to you that he didn't call the timeout right when Caleb was sacked, or as the realization that they weren't going to have enough time when it got to like 18, 17, 16?
Probably right after the sack. I think you have to anticipate certain things that he just seemed incapable of anticipating, whether it was he had too many voices in his ear or just had too much to do. And he could not multitask. You had a coach who was also the defensive coordinator. I don't know if it got in the way. Clearly it did. Maybe it's a rhetorical question and it doesn't need to be. He couldn't do it all. He couldn't do everything. He wasn't one of those head coaches that could multitask. He's not Sean McVay. He's not a guy who could be the head coach and play caller for the defense. Last year, it worked, kind of, sort of, maybe. But really, were the Bears that good? I mean, the defense was good, but they weren't good as a team. He's 14-32. 14-32. What do they really say goodbye to? You said mediocrity. I didn't correct you, but mediocrity would be an improvement.
That's so true.
Okay?
Oh, my God.
Let's go out to the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. That's where we find the co-host of the Take the North podcast and the columnist for the Chicago Tribune and our friend Dan Weeder. Dan, how are you today?
David, you sound just as worked up as you were when I talked to you late last night.
Well, you sound a little more relaxed, but barely.
So Trust me, I'm not.
When we did talk last night and we did reconnect this morning, I think both of us felt like this was inevitable, whether it was today or at the end of the season. It was just a matter of when, not if. What was your reaction when you finally heard the news?
Yeah, just a sense of that this was on its way, you know, and at least the Bears were somewhat decisive today. Now, we can ask really big picture questions about why they allowed Matt Eberflus to do a 9-minute Zoom call with reporters this morning, and then within a matter of 2.5 hours informed him that he was on his way out the door. But it was time. And yesterday was one of those games where the Bears had, for all intents and purposes, a captive audience. And the entire football world gathered around their TVs as the only game in town got to watch their regular sloppiness, clumsiness, and dysfunction play out in absolutely astounding fashion. And I can't tell you the number of text messages, phone calls, everything else I was getting throughout the afternoon and evening last night from people around the league that just could not believe what they had witnessed. And obviously some of that played out on social media as well. And so here we are. The Bears are flipping the page, and the Matt Eberflus era is over.
Dan, there are too many live reactions on social media of people watching the game and having F-bombs and S-bombs dropped because everyone seemed to understand that a timeout was needed except for the head coach, which is ultimately what led to his demise. Talk about, you know, team performance, right? Because they consistently struggled with discipline, execution. But towards this season, it seemed like they struggled on defense as well. So there were a litany of things that were piling together to kind of seal Coach Eberflus's fate.
Yeah, right. Like, you walked into Detroit trying to figure out what value Matt Eberflus still brought to your football team. And the one thing that they consistently hung their hat on was the fact that he was really good at holding a team together through turmoil. Well, the turmoil was ceaseless. It was never ending. It happened all the time. And over these last 34 days or whatever it's been since they went to Washington, the number of high profile blunders that this team and this coaching staff has made has been jaw dropping, Gabe. It really has been. I mean, like, you could not find a director that wouldn't sign up to do this 30 for 30 on what's happened to the Chicago Bears over the last 34 days, because there's too many compelling train wreck, car wreck moments for a team that just can't get out of its own way. And I will tell you that when I walked into that locker room at Ford Field yesterday, late afternoon, and felt the emotions of the players, I knew it was over, because you could tell that they had no more conviction or faith or blind trust or hollow hope in their head coach. They were done. They were done with Matt Eberflus. And so by extension, the organization had to be as well.
We're talking with Dan Weeder from the Chicago Tribune, talking about the Bears firing Matt Eberflus here on 670 Score. David Haw with Gabe Ramirez here until 2 o'clock. We're going to talk to Dave Wansa at the top of the hour. Dan, I look at this and you take a step back, and when we do talk about these things, we wonder what is different. As I said earlier in the show, Kevin Warren is the different piece of this equation, different part that makes it different and why they were able maybe to do something they hadn't done before. George McCaskey is still there. And since May 2011, he took over, he's now had 4 general managers, 5 head coaches, 9 offensive coordinators, and the Bears have been a model of instability. They haven't won a playoff game during his tenure. How involved will he be? What's your sense of Kevin Warren's role in this? And where does Ryan Poles fit into the picture?
Well, listen, when Kevin was hired and assumed his post at Halas Hall, I guess about 19 months ago, it was with the intention of being involved in big picture football operations decisions like the Bears are going to face going forward here. So I expect him to be heavily involved in guiding the search for the next Bears head coach. I expect him to be a layer of checks and balances on Ryan Poles as he kind of charts out his course, assuming he is allowed to walk into the 2025 offseason at the controls of the GM post. Look, like, there's still 5 games left, guys. And with what we've experienced from the time we returned from London until now, you can't assume that anybody's safe beyond week 18. And so these things have to play out, and they have to find a way to gracefully get across the finish line of this season. And then they have to pivot in to a stretch where you have to find a coach that can marry up with your young, highly talented quarterback and take this organization where it needs to go with the talent that it has and the core talent it has with guys under contract for several years. This is going to be a good job to walk into. You just have to know what you're looking for, and what Kevin Warren will bring that they didn't have in the previous two coaching searches is the fact that he has been inside the building and he has institutional knowledge that Bill Polian and Ernie Accorsi couldn't have because they were just outsiders parachuting in to try to help out. And so Kevin needs to use the experience that he has over these 19 months, good, bad, and otherwise. He needs to use all those interviews he did with employees across Ellis Hall and use it to inform the direction he wants to go to put this football team in position to do things that it hasn't done in a long, long time. And one of those is trying to finish third place in the NFC North.
Kevin Warren certainly going to have his hands on this one. And like you mentioned, has time on task here in that organization and trying to find what's correct. You mentioned 5 weeks left in the season. No bye, Dan. So team morale is going to be important. Do you think the firing is going to have a positive or negative impact on the morale in that locker room?
It could be both, Gabe. It honestly could be, because look, like the players got back for Thanksgiving, went off with their families last night, and have a long extended weekend to kind of use as a mini bye. I have no idea at this stage how those players got this news. I have no idea how they are getting communication from the leadership inside the building on what is happening and what is expected of them when they return to the building on Monday to prepare for a game against the 49ers. And so there's a lot of unease. And I can tell you there was significant distress in that locker room yesterday evening, and they're going to have to power through that in some way, shape, or form. I do think there's going to be a level of relief that Matt Eberflus is gone and somebody else is going to be at the switch for these late-game moments and big decisions. But look, like guys, we've been talking about this since like week 9, that the schedule is not forgiving to them. The gimme win that they were supposed to have here in the back half of their schedule was the Patriots game, and they got blown out at home. And so there is no assuring that the Bears win again this year. And so you want to talk about morale. Let's watch a 6-game losing streak go to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Before I let you go, Dan, a couple things, bookkeeping, housekeeping, whatever, in terms of the details. When will we hear from Ryan Poles and or Kevin Warren and maybe even George McCaskey? But I think that this is an unprecedented move, and something that happens for the first time in Bears history should warrant a comment or at least a news conference. And secondly, when they do talk about what is next and what they did, how does Thomas Brown, the interim head coach, fit into potential future plans?
To your first question, David, there is no question that this merits a question and answer session. And it merits a lot more than whatever written statement you can provide on a Friday afternoon, you know, a Friday news dump, right, David? This is a way to get it out of the way and try to move on. This is too big for that. And you better have somebody willing to step up, face the questions, and be ready to explain the decision, explain, you know, how we got to the point that the decision was needed, and go forward from there. As far as it relates to Thomas Brown, like, look, like, there have been interim coaches in the past that have used their audition and put a positive step forward and made an impression that's allowed them to stick around. Thomas Brown right now, 2.5 weeks after being moved over into this role as offensive coordinator from his role as passing game coordinator, now has to come down from the booth and be on the sideline to manage your football team while also overseeing the rookie quarterback, the offense, the defense, the special teams, and the game management. Good luck, TB. I hope you're up for it. I've really been impressed with him over the last 2.5 weeks, but my goodness, guys, this is a massive ask for a guy who is just now starting to get semi-comfortable in the role that was thrust upon him just a couple weeks ago, you know, this month that he became the offensive coordinator, and now he is the head coach of the Chicago Bears for the rest of the 2024 season.
But Dan, the way some people describe it, he's not coming down from the coaching booth. He's coming down from the mountaintop.
But it's Mike Tomlin from the mountain.
I know. I mean, so that's a lot. He's got a lot to live up to in a short period of time.
There's no question he's been impressive here over the last 3 weeks. And the things that they've been able to unlock with him kind of at the controls of the offense are notable. But now, again, you're just thrusting so many added responsibilities onto his plate. I hope he's up to the task. I hope that there is, for all of our sakes and all of the city of Chicago's sakes, I hope there is a routine week somewhere here in the near future, because we've gone like 7 consecutive weeks with viral insanity following us around at every step of the process. And here we are again, guys.
You're doing a great job, Dan. And hopefully next time I talk to you, I'll be a little more relaxed. So appreciate your time.
I get it. I appreciate the commiseration.
Dan Reeder from the Chicago Tribune and the Take the North podcast. You want to download that on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. He and Mark Grody do a terrific job, and they will certainly have all the updates in terms of the news out of Hallis Hall. The Bears have fired Matt Eberflus. They did it after he met the media at 9 o'clock. They announced it later in the morning. This is from Albert Breer on Twitter. Albert Breer reports or tweets, "The Bears coaching staff had a normal morning, went through their meetings and day after game routines. They were set to go home to their families at noon Central Time. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Matt Eberflus gave his coaches the news in a brief meeting." What did the Bears learn from 9 o'clock until 11:30? That is embarrassing.
Well, you saw the press release, David. They had to have their morning meeting with Kevin.
The fact that they let Matt Eberflus go out there as a head coach of the Chicago Bears and have to explain what was one of the more embarrassing things you're ever going to see from an NFL team on Thanksgiving Day in front of a national audience, and they thrust him out there. You can say a lot of things about Eberflus, the coach, and you would be right. He was not good. He's 14-32. Matt Eberflus, the person, deserved better. Anybody in a professional situation like that deserves better. The Bears should be ashamed of themselves for sending their head coach out there at 9 o'clock to talk about something that was going to happen 90 minutes later.
Last question of that press conference was asking a question about a pass interference call that he threw the challenge flag on. That was the last question of the Matt Eberflus press conference earlier today. And as I'm listening to it, I'm like, well, that was an odd way to end that one. All right. And then he gets fired.
He's Gabe Ramirez. I'm David Hall. We are here until 2 o'clock. We're going to talk to Dave Wanstead at 1, but your text and calls next. 312-644-6767. You're listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I like what we did there. Again, once it's under 7, you know, you're gonna call time out there, or actually under 12, and then really you don't have an option, because it's 3rd to 4th, you got to throw it into the end zone then. So to me, it's I think we handled it the right way. I do believe that you just re-rack the play, get it in bounce, and call timeout, and that's why we held it, and didn't work out the way we wanted it to.
Nope.
What?
Nope. It sure didn't. David Hall, Gabe Ramirez here until 2 o'clock when Lawrence Holmes arrives. 670 The Score, special edition. Matt Eberflus has been fired. First time in Bears history they have fired a coach in season. And that was Matt Eberflus, obviously, yesterday explaining away the final 36 seconds in a way that didn't make sense. None of it makes sense. And you know what? None of it matters. None of it matters. We can quibble about the details in 18 seconds and 7 seconds and re-rack it a play and what? You know what?
Re-rack. That's my favorite one.
Re-rack. Doesn't matter now. The details are the details. Big picture, the Bears are moving on. This is progress. This is a huge day for the Chicago Bears organization. This is a big phase in their future. Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, it's on them. It's on them to not screw this up.
A lot of pressure on Ryan Poles because he is no longer stepping into a situation where he needs to fix the roster, right? That was his main priority. Now it is, you have one that can compete. You have another offseason where you have draft capital, money, and now you have to go find a coach, and your job is no longer to right the ship.
This roster's 8-4. This coaching staff made it 4-8. That's a problem. That means you screwed up last January. That's on Ryan Poles. Sorry.
But you needed more. You needed one more offseason. You're just going to fix everything in one offseason.
You're 8-4 if you make the right moves, Gabe. You're good enough talent-wise to be 8-4 or 7-5, worst-case scenario. Your coaches blew it. He's gone.
And I disagree. I think they're a 500 team at best.
Okay.
If we're looking at them, and if you look at stats.
I'm not quibbling on the details. The headline, 60-point type, 120-point type. Remember when they
bold
used to have,
font, underline.
Remember when they used to have front pages, Gabe? You know what newspapers are?
No, I have no idea.
Bears fire Eberflus.
Is that on TikTok? Is that an account on TikTok? Okay.
312-644-6767. Herschel from Lincoln Park. Good morning. Good afternoon, Herschel.
What's up, my boy? How you doing, brother?
Doing all right.
It's good to see you two, you and Gabe, on the same line.
Oh, thanks. We get along.
We're a dynamic duo. Yeah,
we are.
Right. So Gabe, I'm going to tell you this morning, Eberflus was asked to leave. He got evicted. Let's just put it on the table right now, okay? And I'm more disturbed about the fact that we only won two NFC North games the whole time he's been our coach. What's that about?
That's not taking the North. That's not taking the North and never giving it back.
That's handing it politely to them.
That's getting comfortable in the basement of the NFC North. And they're way too comfortable. Thanks for the phone call. That is said facetiously. I know that he was being funny, but that is a problem. When you aren't competitive in the division, all right, let me take that back. They're competitive in the division. They almost beat or tied the best team in the NFL, which is at the top of their division. When you can't finish the job against teams that are in your division, you got to go.
That was the most damning loss, I think, because out of the six, granted, there were ones that hurt. But Caleb Williams needs to taste victory at some point. And what better game than, as you mentioned, the top team in the NFL to come down and prove to himself, despite the coaching, despite the decision-making, that he has the gravitas to put the team on his back and come out victorious at the end. I wanted that for him, and I was sad. That, to me, was the most frustrating part there.
Are you trying to prioritize which loss hurt the most?
Yes. Well, for me personally, has to be yesterday.
Right?
If you're Caleb Williams, listen, he's had pursed lips at the end of every game.
Although, the fail Mary led to everything else. That was like you open the door, oh my gosh. It's like everything came out. And it buried the Bears. They never recovered.
But I felt like that was a game where you're going up against Jaden Daniels. You didn't perform well in the first half. You kind of figured it out. And that was part of the rookie progression. This one felt like, hey, we might not be a great team. Caleb Williams looking over at the other side and saying, but we're better than you.
This one led to a dismissal. The Bears have fired Matt Eberflus, the first time in history, and we're going to talk about it with our next guest. Dave Wannstedt joins us on 670 The Score.